Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, plus those who are hate listening this week, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, it's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights from 7 p.m, when the Troy Murphy Show graces the two of us our bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m, covering everything from the serious news to the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world. It's where celebrities stop by for a chat and people far smarter than I join us to talk topics that need expert opinions on. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band are in the studio for antics and songs all night long. Big thank you to BJ and Grossi, plus my favourite gossip girl, for kicking off Thursday Drive as we now enter into TSSR After Dark. On the show tonight, in weird, wacky, wonderful news, we take a look at a wedding showdown of family traditions versus rules. A Melbourne renter who was booted from his residence for being a hermit. Also, a woman, a woman texted a man 159,000 times just after one date. And if that's not crazy enough for the dating world, how about this? A man who asked a woman out on a date by adding her to Facebook whilst he was robbing her at gunpoint. Oh, the weird, wacky, wonderful news is out of control this week. In serious news, we'll take a positive look at all we know to date about the Aboriginal voice to Parliament, as well as a new woke-free school. There's a few of them popping up around Australia. We'll take a look at gambling advertising reforms and the big story at the end of the show this week, the new laws being discussed that will regulate digital platforms who publish misinformation and disinformation and how this is disastrous for our rights, all of us, plus so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
In Australia, only 13% of people keep fish. 9% of households without a pet and 17% with a pet are interested in keeping fish. The three reasons they don't keep fish are that they think it is harder, more expensive, and more time-consuming than it is. All three reasons are a myth, depending on what setup you choose. A simple tropical setup is actually the easiest and cheapest pet you can get. Pop in and visit us at Majestic Aquarium's Tarran Point, or follow us on our social media and learn how far fish keeping has come in the last few years. Majestic Aquariums are proud sponsors of 2SSR.
Are you a business owner or manager? Did you know that workplace policies and manuals must be accessible, understandable, and reasonable? In a recent unfair dismissal case, an employee was reinstated to her job and most of her lost pay was restored after her dismissal was found to be harsh, unjust, and unreasonable because the employer failed to make their policy manual clear and available to the employee. It's important to get HR right to minimise your risks and maximise your success.
This business tip was brought to you by Better HR, the HR experts, a proud sponsor of this station. Google Better HR and mention this station to save 10% on Better HR's award-winning HR software and advice plans.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
Now for your 2SSR four-day weather watch.
Tomorrow, Friday, a sunny day is expected with top temps of 18 degrees and a low of 8. The weekend, Saturday, July 1st, mostly sunny, winds westerly 15 to 25 kilometres per hour, turning southwesterly 15 to 20 during the afternoon. Top temps of 19 and a low of 9. Sunday, partly cloudy, slight chance of a shower along the coastal fringe with a max of 18 and a low of 9. And Monday, as we go back to work, cloudy, medium chance of showers, light winds, top temps reaching 17 and a low of 9 overnight. And as we look into the crystal ball of what's going to happen for the rest of next week, we can expect rain to continue all week. Bring your brolly, my friends. Bring your brolly. And maybe a warm jacket. It's going to get cold.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
It's time to have some fun here on the Troy Murphy Show with our TTMS promise, fun stuff at the front, serious stuff at the back, as we talk the weird, the wacky, and the wonderful news from around the world in a wedding showdown of traditions versus rule. A bride has taken matters into her own hands and showed her in-laws who is boss. Classic bridezilla move. The bride, I love this Reddit channel. The bride shared her tale of wedding woe on Reddit, seeking judgment from the internet jury. Apparently, it's the groom's family who have a quirky custom when it comes to weddings. And that quirky custom is to dress in all white and turn the ceremony into a children's parade. Yeah, that's weird. But the couple getting married, they wanted a classy affair without the little ones and without everyone wearing white, stealing the spotlight from the bride. Lo and behold, on the big day, the groom's family showed up flaunting their alabaster outfits, their white outfits, and accompanied by tiny little youngsters to go on parade. Talk about missing the memo. The bride, feeling guilty for not being a tradition tramp, well, she consulted one of my favourite Reddit channels ever to ask, am I the a-hole? Needless to say, Chaos ensued as the rogue family members were swiftly ejected from the festivities, according to what she wrote on the internet. The bride and groom were mortified, but they stood their ground and held a wedding that went on as planned. Well, almost. Some sneaky family members did try to crash the after party, but were promptly shown the door. Reddit rallied behind the bride, as they should have, applauding her for sticking to her guns and reminding everyone that rules exist for a reason. After all, who wants to be dancing the night away only to accidentally step on a stray baby? Not cool. Not cool at all. Looks like the bride won, or just won, the rules of engagement game. Sorry, in-laws, you're out of bounds with this one. Remember, folks, it's all fun and games until someone shows up in a white onesie. Oh, what a weird family. What a weird family tradition. And, you know, it is a tradition for the bride. Sorry, the wedding is for the bride and the groom, to a degree. But let's be honest, let's face facts. It's all about the bride and what she wants. I've worked one too many weddings to not know that. And the bride says, I want traditional. Screw in-laws traditions. Especially weird ones like that. Anyway, also in weird and wacky wonderful news. Outrageous rental market stories. Yes, well, here's one that's going to take the cake. A poor Victorian renter in Geelong got the boot for being too much of a hermit. Yes, you heard correct. This person's landlord thought that they weren't social enough and decided to show them the door. This is what I call a what story. The tenant took to Facebook, sharing their tale of woe. Apparently, they worked two jobs, with one stretching into the wee hours of the morning. But their housemates, who are full-time students, couldn't handle their secluded and hermit vibe. Little did they know, it was just the tenant catching up on sleep or out hanging out with friends. Talk about a misunderstanding. Now, according to the eviction notice, the reasons cited were, one, the elusive vibe, and two, never taking the bins out, and three, neglecting the floor. While the bins and the floor might be legitimate gripes, listing the vibe as reason number one seems straight out of a comedy routine. For all the loners out there, including myself, fear not, a room in Geelong is now up for grabs, where you can work in peace and embrace your hermit-like tendencies indeed. Or not. who needs housemate when you are when you had the company of your vibe? Perhaps the other renters, the landlords per se, should consider renting to introverted houseplants instead. They're great listeners and never complain about hermit vibes. I tell you what a crazy story, a crazy story indeed. That's why you live alone, folks. Although in this rental market and cost of living crisis, it's a little bit difficult. Also in weird and wacky wonderful news from around the world, as we head to the United States of America, an Arizona woman has taken the phrase love at first sight to a whole new level. The woman's name, Jacqueline Aides, or Aides. Aides? A-D-E-S. She has allegedly, we'll throw that in there, just so we don't get sued, bombarded a man with a mind-boggling 159,000 text messages and even broke into his house after a single date. Talk about commitment. Aides, or Aides, however we want to pronounce it. We'll just say Jacqueline. She believes that a jury will not only find her innocent, but also demand that she and the man tie the knot. Talk about a fairy tale ending. I don't know what he did on that first date, but he must have some pretty serious big D energy going on there. The message is or oh, one hell of a pickup line to get that date starting off fine. The message Jacqueline sent were far from sweet nothings, though. They included charming lines like, I'd make sushi out of your kidneys and chopsticks out of your hand bones. Talk about romance. And she also wrote texts about bathing in his blood. I assume this was when he ignored her, or maybe after the first thousandth text messages started going, whoa, stop. But 159,000 texts. That's a lot of text messages. That's a lot of... Talk about true love knowing no boundaries, right? Apparently, the pair met on an exclusive dating app for the elite. You know, the ones where you can only be on there if you own over $200,000 a year or get voted in by attractive members. I bet he's the one who had the money. But alas, the man had changed, had a change of heart and politely expressed his disinterest in her after their first date. Little did he know that when he did that, it only fueled Jacqueline's determination to win his heart, leading to a relentless barrage of messages. And of course, the alleged breaking into the house where he discovered her soaking in his tub. She brilliantly explained that she had concocted a whole imaginary scenario in her head where she actually lived there. Talk about creativity or lunacy. Well, let's hope this love story finds a happy ending after the courtroom. Who knows? Maybe the jury will not only declare her innocent but also prescribe her with a hefty dose of reality. Good luck, lovebirds. Good luck indeed. I tell you what, if persistence was an Olympic sport, this woman would definitely win the gold medal here. He's hoping she channels her dedication to a less creepy hobby, like, I don't know, competitive knitting or extreme baking. Not stalking men. Now, finally, in weird, wacky, wonderful news from around the world this week, in a bizarre turn of events, an Indianapolis woman has found herself in an unexpected situation when a robber held her up at gunpoint and then asked her out on a date on social media. The woman's name is Amber Braun, and, you know, she was minding her own business after a late shift one night and was approached by a man who demanded $100 from her whilst pointing a gun at her head. But instead of just taking the money and fleeing, the audacious thief inquired, this is ridiculous, to see if she had a boyfriend and then requested to be added as a friend on Facebook. Talk about mixing business and pleasure. And what an idiot! You just commit a crime and then you give her the evidence that she needs to take to the police to get it. Anyway, to everyone's surprise, this woman, Baran, decided to play along. And she added her mugger on Facebook, hoping that it would make him leave. Miraculously, it worked. The robber promptly departed on his getaway bicycle. Oh, thieves on their getaway bicycles nowadays. Talk about being, doing crime the environmental way. No more getaway cars because that's bad for the environment. Criminals are on bicycles doing their bit for carbon emissions. He promised to repay the stolen money. What, tell you what though, this is so ridiculous. I can't even talk. What a modern day chivalrous criminal he is. Later, the robber even had the audacity to text this woman expressing his remorse for the unconventional meeting and acknowledging that she was too pretty to rob. And I say that in inverted commas because that's what he wrote. Perhaps this daring Romeo thought this was his unique way of courtship. It's certainly a story to tell the grandchildren. It's safe to say that this love story isn't exactly what you'll find in a romance novel. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is the storyline for a romance novel in the future. All jokes aside, it is fortunate that this Indianapolis woman, Amber Braun, escaped unharmed. And let's just hope this bizarre incident serves as a reminder to be vigilant even when going about our daily routines. Either that, or this is the premise for a new TV show, How I Met Your Robber. That's just ridiculous and not a funny joke either. That's what's happened this week in weird, wacky and wonderful news. You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Something different here on The Troy Murphy Show. Well, not really different because we tend to talk about this every week, and that is the voice to power. Now, everyone knows, if you're a regular listener, I am predominantly in the no camp, but I want to vote yes. I want to be convinced to vote yes. And I'm very open at expressing my opinion on why I'm still in the no vote camp and why what our government and the representatives who have put this voice together, the proposal for the voice change in the Constitution, why they're getting it wrong. But I thought this week I would do something different and talk about the things that we know so far about the voice and do it in a way that is a little bit more positive, because it could potentially be a good thing. Potentially. Anyway, so here's what we know so far about the Indigenous voice to Parliament. It will be just an advisory role. The voice will provide guidance on matters directly relevant to Indigenous people. It will respond to government requests and proactively engage in issues it deems impactful. The group will possess resources to conduct research and connect with communities at the grassroots level to ensure their needs are accurately represented. It'll also be member selection. Indigenous communities will appoint members to The Voice who will serve for a specified duration, which is yet to be determined. The selection process will be a collaborative effort between local communities and the government, aiming to establish cultural legitimacy. Now, the membership criteria: Voice members must be made of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander people of descent. Representation will be balanced in terms of gender on the national level, with inclusion of young people to ensure a broad community perspective. Transparency and accountability. The government emphasises that the voice will undergo scrutiny and reporting requirements, ensuring transparency and accountability. Members will be held to the standards set by the National Anti-Corruption Commission. Any findings of misconduct may result in sanctions or removal from the committee. Now for the big one, veto power. We are told that the voice will not possess veto power, although the journalist in me does have questions with that. Especially when it comes to the High Court. Now, it'll also have to collaborate with existing bodies. The committee is expected to respect and acknowledge the work and role of existing organisations that are there to help Aboriginal people. Handling of funds, the voice will not be directly involved in managing finances or delivering services to the community. Its primary responsibility will be to advocate for improvements in government programs and services and provide advice on emerging ideas. These aspects demonstrate the government's approach to establishing the voice to Parliament, focusing on meaningful representation, transparency, and collaboration while emphasizing the advisory role and avoiding direct management of funds or duplication of existing services. And that's what we know so far when it comes to The Voice. Of course, when you're a journalist like myself, you read between the lines and you have questions, and that's what I generally talk about here on the show. But I thought, you know what? This week, I know we go on about it every week, why not take a more positive look at what The Voice could possibly be that we get to vote yes or no on in the upcoming referendum.
Hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We hope so. Open your with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
Stick around, because coming up next, we talk about a new school that has been set up to combat woke teaching. But first, let's take a look at what's happening around our beautiful Sutherland Shire. Get ready for an unforgettable evening of music and celebration at the Pavilion Performing Arts Centre on Friday, July 29th from 8 p.m. as an incredible showcase of talent and a tribute to a true legend graces the stage. Marsha Hines, a remarkable artist with a career spanning 50 years, will be taking the stage. From her early hits like Fire and Rain to the iconic Discotheque album and her latest release, The Gospel, according to Marsha Hines, this show will showcase Marsha's extraordinary vocal range and her incredible journey through the music industry. For more information and to book your tickets, call 1-300-665-915. Don't miss out on this extraordinary night of music and celebration as Marsha Hines is there on stage and we get to honour her remarkable career of 5 decades of unforgettable music.
When it comes to kids' sport, parents have lots of questions. Like, how much will it cost? Will my kid get to play with their friends? How often do you train? And do I have to volunteer? But there's one question every parent should ask. What does the club have in place to make sure my kid's protected? Don't take child safety at your club for granted. Find the important questions at playbytherules.net.au and start to talk.
Hey everyone, it's Adam Goods here, one of the National Tree Day ambassadors. National Tree Day is important for country because those incredible native trees bring back our beautiful wildlife to our communities. It's an opportunity for us to learn from each other, to plant new natives into our community and understand the importance of planting trees. Join Planet Ark and Toyota this National Tree Day, Sunday, 30th of July. Find out more at treeday.planetark.org.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
File this next segment under, I don't know how to feel about this one. but I guess when people find a need, they find a way. Now, with the growing concerns in society about woke teaching, of course, when we say woke teaching, we're talking about the teaching of more socialistic issues such as gender theory and the doomsday approach to climate change. Some parents in Australia, well, they've started their own small school that is offering a, and I use this inverted commas, a classical education. One such school is Hartford College, which opened here in Sydney with 22 students and plans to grow to 200 students from year 5 to 12. The school's ethos is to encourage students to think critically, ask difficult questions, and pursue the truth. It focuses on liberal arts education, offering subjects like philosophy and languages and literature and science. The school complies with the curriculum standards but customizes its own syllabus. Now, each student has a mentor and parents have regular communication with the principal. Now, unlike public school, which is free, this one does cost, but people are obviously spending the money. Hartford College is not the only startup school of its kind. Harkaway Hills College in Melbourne, established by Catholic parents, also follows a similar approach, along with another Catholic group of families in Brisbane. They plan to set up the St. John Henry Newman College, an independent school in the classic liberal arts tradition. Many parents are being drawn to these schools because they believe mainstream schools promote a woke ideology and they seek a more rigorous and enshrining education for their children, focusing on traditional values and a broader curriculum. The pandemic also contributed to the growth of independent schools in Australia, with 76 new independent schools opening since 2020. A very interesting story, which is a wait, watch and see what happens here. But whilst I still don't quite know what to think about this, whilst I'm not heavily in agreement of the extremes of woke teaching that we are seeing, there are some parts of it that I do agree with, like adding homosexual and lesbian sex to school, high school sex ed classes, not primary school, but I guess you know it's good to learn about the birds and the bees, but when it comes to the safe practices of sex that you traditionally learn in high school, well, that's what happened in my education. You learn about the birds and bees. This is where babies come from in your younger learning years. But in high school, you learnt the safeties of sex, so STIs and wearing condoms. And I guess I would love to see, and it probably already is, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been to high school, many decades. But I would prefer to see the safe practices of sex for gay men and lesbians in the education process, because that wasn't there. We learnt, as a gay man myself, we had to learn through education and real world experience how all this worked. But this goes back to a story we spoke about last week here on the show, where individuals as young as 16 are being asked for the right to vote. You know, I don't know if I spoke about it last week, but it's a thought that I've had. Like, I'm on board for younger people being voted. On the proviso, though, because we all know why the Greens and Labor want younger people to vote, because they traditionally vote left. They want to remain in power. But I would be more inclined to be supportive of younger people voting if we changed our school curriculum to teach things so we don't teach as much of this woke ideology and socialist issues that are currently being taught in school, and we teach actually real-world experience. And I know I'm projecting here. I know I'm projecting, but I'm sure I'm not alone with this. I would have loved to have learned how to do my tax in school. I would have loved to learn how to invest in the stock market, or invest in property, or learn how to save properly, or how to change a car tire. Those sort of real world experience things I would much have preferred to have learnt in school, and I would love to see introduced to our current curriculum so we give, you know, how to write a resume, all that sort of stuff, how the political system works, how the law works. I know there are classes that do that, but they're electives. They're your legal studies and social studies and things like that that you have to elect to do. I would much prefer that sort of stuff to be more part of the mainstream education than learning things we have never used since, like algorithms and Pythagoras's theorem or whatever we learnt. Anyway, I know I am ranting, but this is a Weight Watch, and we'll update you as more information becomes available on these new schools that are popping up amid the concerns of woke teaching. Indeed.
For everything off air, follow The Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Because coming up next, we talk the government's proposed shakeup of the world of online gambling. Brace yourself for a bold move that could change the game forever. But first, ponder this. Your digestive system both starts and ends with cheeks. Ponder that.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
As part of the Troy Murphy Show, fun stuff at the front, serious stuff at the back. Let's continue to talk the serious stuff, which of course mostly means talking about what they're doing down in Canberra to better our lives. In a bold move, Australia is considering bidding adieu to online gambling ads within the next 3 years. The federal government recently received recommendations from a parliamentary inquiry highlighting the harms associated with online gambling, paving the way for potential bans and regulatory measures. Let's revisit that in a second. The advice from the inquiry is harms associated with online gambling. We'll come back to that in a second. The inquiry, which tabled its findings on Wednesday, presented a total of 31 recommendations targeting online gambling. Notably, the proposed measures include a ban on advertising betting platforms for companies such as your sports bet and tad corp and all that sort of stuff. Now, as if it wasn't enough, these companies would also be required to pay a harm reduction levy. It appears the government is playing hardball, making sure that those who contribute to the problem also contribute to the solution, as they say. But wait, there is more. The report also suggests additional measures, such as imposing a levy on online gambling services, implementing national regulation, establishing an ombudsman, and launching a public education campaign. It seems that Australia is determined to address the issue head on. Not really. It's just fiddling around the edges to try and make it look like they're trying to address the problem. Because let's be honest, if the government was really serious about addressing the problem with online gambling, as recommended by the parliamentary inquiry, the harms associated with online gambling, it would do more than just prohibit the advertising of online gambling. It would get rid of it. Remember when we, it is a little bit before my time, but lead paint. Lead paint was found to be a health issue. Tanning beds found to be a health issue. What did they do? Ban them. Why wouldn't a government and both sides of politics are guilty of this. Why wouldn't a government want to get rid of online gambling as a whole? Oh, because they make millions of dollars each year from it. It's like smoking. Of course, they make more money from smoking than they do online gambling. That's the government, that is, through taxes and things like that. But that's the reason why they... So, you know, whilst it's great that they're looking at this, the reality of it all is it's just, they're just beating around the bush. They're just tidying up the edges. Back to this report. According to Labor MP Peter Murphy, Peter with an A-P-E-T-A Murphy, who spearheaded the inquiry, Australians are the biggest losers worldwide when it comes to online gambling. In a country where sports and gambling are intertwined, intrinsically intertwined, it's no wonder that, and I'm quoting her, that behaviours associated with these activities are causing widespread harm. The relentless torrent of gambling advertisements bombards an impressionable and vulnerable audience, coaxing them into online gambling pursuits. These recommendations come after months of vigorous debate across the political spectrum regarding the advertising of betting services. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese previously described the ads as annoying. I agree with you there, Albo. Whilst opposition leader Peter Dutton went one step further, advocating for a ban on such ads during sports matches, which I assume means TV advertising, your billboards and banners at the game and all that sort of stuff. It seems that annoyance and concern have merged. Both sides of politics are on board with this, leading to a potential watershed moment in Australia's approach to online gambling. In light of these developments, it remains to be seen whether Australia's gamble on banning gambling ads will pay off. Will this move lead to a decline in gambling-related harm, or will it simply promote creative ways to circumvent the rules? Only time will tell. Regardless, it's a sign that Australia is ready to roll the dice and take a stand against the persuasive influence of online gambling advertisements. Australia putting its money where its mouth is, betting on a future without gambling ads. Will this bold move be a jackpot or a bust? Let's hope the odds are in their favour. Any more gambling puns I can throw in there? You're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. Goodbye, Chris Cash. The Troy Murphy Show, it is for you. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. and then online all week long. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day.
Because coming up next, we discussed new legislation designed to combat online misinformation and disinformation, and how this is potentially the worst thing possible for society as it is. But first, a quick look at the news that broke across the Sutherland Shire this week. Fire and Rescue New South Wales Miranda Station has acquired a new high-tech aerial platform to enhance firefighting capabilities. Valued at $2.5 million, the platform is equipped with three tanks capable of holding 1,650 litres of water and 250 litres of foam. It features a powerful pump capable of pumping 6,000 litres per minute, making it the most potent pump on any fire and rescue appliance. The platform's ladder and enclosed cage can extend up to 24 metres in height with a lateral reach of 11 metres. Additionally, it can lower 3 metres below the appliance, enabling firefighters to combat fires and conduct rescues at varying heights. Fire and Rescue New South Wales is proactively expanding its capabilities to respond to high-rise emergencies as Sydney's skyline continues to grow. The modern high-tech emergency appliances are strategically positioned to meet the increasing demands posed by taller buildings and expanding populations. And that's the news that broke this week in the Sutherland Shire.
Did you know federal government departments have the power to stop you hearing and reading what they don't want you to know? They can approve the terms for huge sales of agricultural land to foreign companies, but you're not allowed to know. And federal police can raid journalists' homes for reporting the truth if it says you're not allowed to know. Could this happen in Australia? It's happening now. Find out what they don't want you to know at yourrighttoknow.com.au.
Authorised by Australia's Right to Know Sydney.
Whether you're growing older, rehabilitating, or living with a disability, help is always here at AdaCare. Our new showroom in Sylvania isn't the only reason people choose AdaCare. It's also the information you gain from a chat with our people. Stay informed about the latest equipment, streamlined procedures, and funding options available to you by calling 1300 133 120 or visiting adacare.com.au. AdaCare is a registered NDIS provider, home care supplier and DVA specialist, and is a proud sponsor of 2SSR.
The Reading Writing Hotline is there to help adults who have difficulties with reading, writing or spelling. Their number is 1300 655506.
1300 655506.
Go on, take the plunge.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
They say that a change is as good as a holiday. So if you're looking for a new hobby or experience, then please join me, Anne Warren, for the Art and Soul program. We'll look at what's happening around the Shire with a focus on the arts. You'll hear about the latest exhibitions, events, festivals, or perhaps a fun and interesting workshop. It's live, it's local, it's 2SSR Art and Soul every Tuesday between 12 and 2 p.m. Right here on 2SSR 99.7 FM and streaming live around the world on 2SSR.com.au.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
In what is possibly the biggest news story that broke this week, the Australian government is considering new legislation that would impose significant fines on online platforms found guilty of spreading misinformation. The draft bill aims to empower the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, to regulate digital platforms more effectively and combat the growing issues of misinformation and disinformation. Under the proposed legislation, ACMA would have the authority to require digital platforms to maintain specific records related to misinformation and disinformation. These platforms would be obligated to provide these records upon request. By granting this power, the regulator would be able to closely monitor the measures taken by online platforms to ensure compliance with regulators. Additionally, ACMA would be able to request the industry to develop a code of practice outlining measures to combat misinformation effectively. Failure to comply with the code could result in penalties of up to $2.7 $5 million or 2% of global turnover, whichever is greater. Furthermore, ACMA would be granted the ability to establish and enforce its industry standards. Violating these standards could lead to penalties of up to $6.8 million or 5% of global turnover for companies involved. However, concerns have been raised regarding potential infringements of freedom of speech, with Shadow Minister for Communications David Coleman expressing apprehension, stating that government overreach must be avoided. In this complex area of policy, he emphasised the need for transparency in determining what qualifies as misinformation or disinformation. And I want to come back to this, these exact words, misinformation or disinformation, because it's also being used in regard to something else that links these two issues together. But I'll get to that in a second, because I want to continue talking about this draft bill, because according to the draft bill, which does have the potential to get up, because it's Labor who are putting this through and the Greens tend to support them no matter what, and with the Green support, they have majority in Parliament. This is definitely something I'm going to have to talk to our local members about. According to the draft bill, misinformation is defined as unintentionally false or misleading or deceptive content. Disinformation, on the other hand, refers to intentionally disseminated misinformation aimed at causing serious harm. But who are the regulators for this? Who decides what is misinformation and what is disinformation? I tell you what, media organizations, they're going to stop posting things on social media because, you know, all you need is a government to go, oh, sorry, no, that's misinformation and disinformation. You're going to get fined. Not sure who gets fined though, whether it's the social media platform or is it the business who did it. There's some confusion about all of that. It could just be the platform, so like Facebook and things like that. But then could that also lead to a radio station's website or a newspaper's website? Could they be charged $2.75 million if they are found to be spreading misinformation and disinformation? And let's not forget, if it is the government who are making these rules up, well, let's not forget what happened during COVID. You know, COVID, we were told that, let's look at where it originated from. You were told it was misinformation and disinformation if you said that it came from a lab in Wuhan. But we're now finding out that it probably did. There's a high chance that it did. We spoke about it a couple of weeks here on the show. Patient Zero was one of the scientists who were working on coronaviruses at the Wuhan lab. That was considered misinformation. And a lot of the stuff that's coming out now about COVID that was cited as being misinformation and disinformation and taken down off the internet by social media platforms at the request of governments is now coming out to be true. So who determines what is misinformation and what is disinformation, and what happens to those who are alleged to have spread misinformation and disinformation and then that information becomes true? It's a mess, and it reminds me of, you know, this is not the first time Labor have done this. A decade ago, some of us remember these sort of stuff because we've been in the media for so long. A decade ago, the Gillard government, social media wasn't as big as it is today, the Gillard government, and I should have looked this up before I came on air, but if memory serves me right, the Gillard government tried to put restrictions on media companies on what they could or could not report. Is it just me, or are we starting to sound like, you know, China, where their government says, you can only know this, you can't know this? It's becoming crazy. I hope that same sanity prevails, and this draft bill is shot down quickly in Parliament. And I will be talking to local members to get them to start talking out and out loud about this, because it is ridiculous. Now, the ACMA have already engaged in consultations with major social media companies about this bill's development, with Minister Rowland, that's of course our Communications Minister Michelle Rowland, issuing a warning to social media platforms, emphasising their responsibility in combating misinformation. She stressed that these platforms play a crucial role in addressing the issue. The public consultations on the proposed legislation have commenced this week and are set to conclude on August 6th. The Communication Legislation Amendment Combating Misinformation and Disinformation Bill 2023 is currently in the public consultation stage, allowing stakeholders and citizens to provide feedback and shape the final version of the legislation. And I am calling on everyone here at the station, everyone at 2SSR, everyone in the media, and everyone in the community out there who want freedom of information and freedom of opinion and freedom of discussion, even if it is a tinfoil hat wearing opinion or thing. And that's the thing. We're finding that most of the conspiracy theories that have gone on and on for years are turning out true. Look at the whole alien thing. You know, we're finding out that there, and it's just peppering with information now. You've got experts, people in the military coming out and saying, yeah, aliens are real. The US government's been covering it up. Whether it's true or not, but it's there is elements of truth coming to it. And that was all misinformation and disinformation. The tinfoil wearing hat conspiracy theorists are almost becoming truth bearers, and having legislation like this put in place to stop the freedom of discussion of ideas or alternates to the narrative that is being spread by governments, because we all know that, you know, governments, well, they're not always the best at telling the truth themselves. Community, get involved. Start saying no to this. This is crazy. Oh, and as I said earlier, you know, this is, it's all being called misinformation or disinformation. Now, where have we been hearing that? Oh, that's right. It's all got to do with The Voice. Yes. Yeah, The Voice.
Every bit of disinformation and misinformation and scare campaigns that exist in this debate. The No campaign are importing American-style Trump politics, and its weapon of choice is misinformation.
Linda Burney, Australia's Minister of Indigenous Australians, there, talking about the No camp in relation to the Voice to Parliament, claiming that it is the No camp who are spruiking misinformation and disinformation about the Voice to Parliament. So yeah, the two are aligned here. Yeah. Yeah, so I wonder if this bill that is being drafted to go to be voted on in Parliament and to stop social media platforms from spreading, or media platforms from spreading misinformation and disinformation, has anything to do with that. What a way to make sure that the yes vote wins by criminalising misinformation and disinformation, especially when it's a government body that gets to say what is misinformation and disinformation. Ponder that. Ponder that indeed.
Crazy and insane-y, it's delirious but brainy, tastes a little gamey, the Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck, you just can't stop listening.
So turn the radio dial on, Thursday nights at 7 from, we're gonna put the ray on, the Troy Murphy Show.
And now for the big ending!
The Troy Murphy Show!
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it, the Troy Murphy Show done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on twsr.com.au or podcast via iTunes and Spotify. Until next week, bye for now.
2SR FM 99.7.